Colossians chapter 3, we'll be reading from verse 15 till the end of that passage. So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Close your eyes and pray with me for a moment. Father, we thank you again that we have the opportunity just to sit under the reading and the instruction of your word. I pray, dear Lord, Father, that just as the Apostle Paul elucidates on being someone that is instructive, that is willing to learn in the book of Thessalonians, that year again, dear Lord, Father, he says, be under the instruction of God's word. And as we submit ourselves to your truth, dear Lord, won't you accomplish our sanctification for your glory? This is your time, your space, your people, and may your word achieve its purpose. We ask this for your sake. Amen. So if you need a title for this morning's service, it's simply The Power of Thanksgiving. And it's a two-part series. Next week I will complete it. But for today, we're just going to look at Colossians chapter 3 from verse 15 to the end of that passage, verse 17. So verse 15 says this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Before I get to the latter part of verse 15, which is just give thanks or be thankful, allow me just to say a few comments about peace. We prayed and thanked God a bit earlier in the service for bringing the nation of South Africa with all its diversity and differences through a period of peaceful election. Now, there's still much turmoil behind the scenes politically. We would be naive to think that there isn't a plan afoot from certain factions in political power to remove certain factions who yield that power at the moment. And your prayers would be well directed to that end, for peace. And not just a peace that is wrought about by fear of violence or by fear of intimidation, but a peace that comes out of a conviction that peace is a worthy object to attain. It is a value that adds value to life. It is something that gives life greater value. The Apostle Paul is saying that as Christians, we have been called to peace. And the foundation for that peace is that the peace of Christ reigns in you personally. Now, here's a challenge. The challenge is that Jesus gives us a peace because he says he does. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Now he defines this peace and he says, this is a peace that the world cannot give you. The world does not have the capability nor the intention of giving you peace. In fact, the world is designed to let you function in a lack of satisfaction, which is a level of peace, by the way. And it wants you to function in this level of, dissatisfaction, so that you constantly become the consumer purveying products that you don't need in the hope that attaining one of these products will produce peace. Products do not produce peace. A sense of healthy personhood produces peace, and you only truly get a sense of healthy personhood when you are in contact, in relationship with your Savior, the person Jesus Christ. And so Paul says here, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I want to thank you all for praying for my father-in-law, Janine's dad. It's been a hectic weekend with arranging this breakfast and all of the things that go with it. And then on Friday night, we got the news while we were on visitation. And I'm on visitation, my phone is usually on silent or completely off, which was the case. And my mother-in-law was trying to contact us to say that Janine's dad had had a heart attack, and quite a serious one at that. And so by the time we got there, he was they were prepping him for theater, or at least the time Janine got there. And I saw him for the first time last night during visiting hours, and I thought to myself, I don't know what I'm going to see, because all the reports I've been getting is that this man has had a massive heart attack. It turned out that all his arteries were clogged, and the procedure that they did was they put in 3 stents yesterday, and continued tests today and tomorrow might determine further surgical interventions. So I thought, I'm going to see a gray man who is downhearted, excuse the pun, and has kind of lost the peace and the joy and the thankfulness of life. So I come in last night into the ward ICU, and I'm alone with him at this point, and the first thing he says, "Oh, Peter, I'm so thankful to see you," with a smile on his face. With someone who has just had 3 stents put in as a temporary measure, and they are going to look at possible further surgical interventions. And I just thought, my goodness, did you know what I was preaching about? I don't know if Jesus would make you get a heart attack just so that I have a sermon illustration. But I just thought, is that not the attitude? And I asked him, "How are you feeling?" And he says, "I feel fine." And then the nurse who was listening to this little conversation, she turns around and she says, the only reason he's feeling fine, well, 2 reasons. Number 1 is medication. And number 2, his arteries are flowing fine right now, and it's giving him the illusion that he's feeling fine. But I'm not too worried about the biology of this. I am concerned about the attitude. And he says, "I'm at complete peace, and I'm full of joy for still being alive. And I'm so glad that I can still see you." And I'm thinking, my goodness, if anybody could find a silver lining in a bad situation, it would be that man in this situation. I was then told that the afternoon, my uncle and auntie, my in-laws, visited him while Janine and her mom was with him. And in intensive care, you can only have 2 people at a time. And so one sister chucked the uncle and auntie out because they were laughing with him. And they said, "No, you can't give this man stress like this, even happy stress. Don't let him laugh." And then she says, because now they're thinking that this woman's just being unreasonable. And she says, "No, I was here when they brought him in. And you've got no clue how close he was to death. Another few minutes, he'd be gone. And so, please excuse me if I'm protecting him now, because you don't, I think his demeanor and his facial expressions and his, the way he's talking with you belies the fact that he is a very ill man." Now, I think we need to listen to the doctors and the nurses, but the point is, in every situation, be thankful, because your thankfulness is related to the state of peace that you have in your life. It's a continuum. It's connected. The more thankful you are, the more peaceful and peaceable you will be. I read an article in one of my favorite websites that I refer to very often, which is Forbes.com. And they had an article on the relationship between thankfulness, gratitude, and a high quality of life. And they mentioned 6 things. I'll mention just 3. Lower stress comes as a result of having a spirit of gratitude, being thankful. The ability to smile more by being thankful. It's very difficult to be very thankful and still be unhappy. And then thirdly, contentment. When you thank God all the time, you realize that Jesus is all you need. Now, Forbes did not mention Jesus, but they do mention that contentment, when you are thankful, is an outflow of your attitude, of your thinking, of your underpinning philosophy of life. So let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And notice how the Apostle Paul speaks about this. He says, listen, you let the peace of God rule and reign in your life. This is not some force that's going to overtake you. Now, that might be a grace of God in special circumstances. Let me give you an example. You go for an interview that's going to promote you 10 times over if they like you. And so there's a lot riding on this interview. So you're very nervous. You've got the clammy hands. You've got the leg shakes. You know the leg shakes when you're just moving like that and you don't know why? Some people sit in a chair and they just swivel the chair from side to side. And you're sitting there being the interviewer and you're just going like this, like you're watching a tennis match. But whatever the story is, you are nervous because you know what's riding on your responses to the questions from the other side of the table. And all of a sudden you say, Lord, let the peace of God reign in me. And here you understand that you're lacking capacity, you are lacking application at this point in time, and you're asking God for divine direct intervention into the state of your spirit and the manifestation of your being. You want the countenance of calmness. You want the feeling of peace, but you don't have the attitude to get there right now. You're nervous. You're under stress. You're under pressure. And God, by His grace, might or He might not, come in, put His invisible hand over your brain and say, be calm, receive peace. The interviewer sitting on the other side, or the panel of interviewers sitting on the other side of that table, sit and think, but just 30 seconds ago, you were a ball of nerves. What happened? They might ask in their minds. And if they were to ask you, how is it that you are so calm? You might have the gumption to say, Jesus. It's a peace that you can't give me. And it's certainly a peace that you can't understand. That might be the case in certain instances of great challenge and high stress and high demand. But by and large, what Paul is telling all of us is that we must allow the peace of God to reign in our hearts. And hearts here, it's a code word for your inner life. Don't let turmoil rob you of the peace that God gives you. It is your birthright in Christ Jesus. Now, here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about not worrying. Don't be a worrier. A W-O-R-R-I-E-R. But be a peaceable warrior. W-A-R-R and continuing. What He wants you to do is not be concerned. But don't worry. Don't be so obsessed with what can go wrong that you lose your peace. Don't be so busy that you're working out contingencies for every eventuality that you lose faith. Trust in God and know that He's got this, and know that you can function in His peace. Now, there's a connection between peace and thankfulness. And here, I give you three R's just to wrap all of this around, and then the sermon is almost done. The first R is this. Be thankful for no reason. Understanding that there is a connection between some fruit of the Spirit and facilities of God and thankfulness, all Paul says is, be thankful. It's connecting it to the whole peace idea, but he's also saying, just spontaneously, for no good reason, be thankful. And here he's saying, instead of making it a point or a goal to be thankful for something, for a reason, I want you to be thankful as a median, not a value. And the value is a point on the graph in time and space. You know, it's got height and it's got length and might even have depth as well if it's 3D. But it's at least got two dimensions. And it's a point that you can point to. It's got coordinates. I'm going to be thankful for being able to preach today between 20 past 10 and quarter to 11. Thank you, Jesus. Point on the graph. Tick. I'm grateful and thankful. What Paul is saying is, and be thankful, is saying, just be thankful all the time for everything in your life. Cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. It's a median in your life. When people look at you, they're supposed to be saying, there goes that thankful brother. There sits that thankful sister. They are so gracious because of the gratitude that they have. They just thank everybody for everything. Be thankful for no reason. The second thing that he says then, if you would look at verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. That's the second time being thankful or gratitude is related to spiritual disciplines and routine. Second R. First one, be thankful for no reason. Second one, be thankful routinely, repeatedly. But we'll get to that in a moment. Now, routinely includes repeatedly, but I'll speak on that separately in a moment. Routinely means that as we sing our songs, as we sing our hymns, as we go through the religious practices of our faith, be thankful. And some of you are sitting with, how do you do that without being thankful? I don't know. Ask your neighbor. But I can tell you, there are people who will go through the cultic practices of our religion. We will stand and sing. We will sit and pray. We will quiet down and listen to the word of God and still not be thankful. Turn with me to the book of Timothy. And I want to read you an example of how Paul demonstrates these first two points of no reason and routinely. Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. It reads as follows, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. He's talking about running after money and fame and the bad passions of humanity. He says, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. Now it picks up on the emphasis of this God that we serve, who is our sovereign. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen and amen. And then verse 17, command those who are ... back to business. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, he is giving apostolic divine instruction to this young church leader. And out of this instruction, he breaks away from the norm, and for no reason and for reason, he simply starts to praise God and is thankful to God. That's a value that you need to inculcate in your own life. Some of you are sitting here and you might be looking at thinking, I don't have much to be thankful for. You got to be careful. Allow me to share with you a testimony that has just come to my ears yesterday. There was a young man that we were going to invite to come and share, who comes from a Muslim background and has come to faith. And studied in our Pulse program at the CTBS and all those type of things. And he's not even South African. He's from another Muslim state. And I won't say too much so that we don't identify him. But this young man from a Muslim background who still bears a cultural Muslim name has now turned his back on the faith. And he comes from an Islamic country originally, grew up there, and only came here after he turned 18. And he's come to the conclusion that serving Jesus has only brought him suffering and harm. Which is true. In the context of the nation that he grew up in, which is 99% Muslim, in the context of having access to resources and jobs and opportunities removed because of your faith, he's right. But he still fails to see that if Jesus does nothing else but save my soul from eternal damnation, he's done enough. He's done way more, exceedingly abundantly more than what he can imagine. None of us has ever prayed, Lord, would you please send your son to die on the cross in my stead so that I can be prosperous. No. He says, I'll send my son of my own accord, by my own decision, to die on the cross vicariously for you, in your stead, you being substituted in heaven. He's going to go to the depths and descend into the depths of hell so that you can be set free. The best that we can do is look for stability financially. Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, give me a pretty wife. Thank the Lord, that one got ticked off. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. But no one had the courage or the gumption to ask Jesus, will you die in my place and allow me to torture you? You see, when you stop being thankful, you won't be able to praise God for who He is. You're going to look at thankfulness only from the perspective of the blessings that are in your life. And I know there are people who are sitting in this church, maybe because of Jesus, maybe not because of it, and you have a raw deal. Things are not going as well as you thought they would. I want to tell you that if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God has done exceedingly more than what you could ever imagine, and you should be thankful. It's that foundation that Pauline theology, thinking and understanding, leads him to say, in all circumstances, in all things, be thankful. It's possible because the resurrection power of God exists and lives within me. Anything else doesn't matter. You can take my ministry away. You can't take Jesus away. You can take my money away. You can't take Jesus away. You can take my family away. In the case of Job, you can't take my Jesus away. Only because my eternal security is secure. Excuse me. Number one, give thanks for no reason. 1A, give thanks for a reason. Give thanks routinely. And thirdly, give thanks repeatedly. Three times in two verses, Paul tells us to give thanks. Have a spirit of gratitude. Give thanks. It's important. Next week I'll probably preach from Philippians. Because Philippians has got four chapters, as does Colossians. And it focuses, its major theme is joy and thankfulness. But I thought Colossians, which has a fair bit of being thankful as well as most of the Pauline scriptures do, with the possible exception of Philemon. You have got Paul saying, you got to give God thanks repeatedly in a 24-hour cycle, repeatedly in a 7-day week cycle, and repeatedly in a 30 or 31-day monthly cycle. Every single day of every single year that you draw breath, you give God thanks. Repeatedly. It changes the way your brain the biology of your brain. It changes the way your mind operates and thinks. And it makes you into not just a better Christian, it turns you into a better human. There's an old hymn which isn't on the set for today. But let's count your blessings, name them one by one. Finish it for me, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, when you're not conscious of having a thankful spirit, an attitude of gratitude, you are not very often counting the blessings that you have. It goes above you. You are unconscious to it. Just by the way, a definition, a general definition of being thankful is simply being conscious and aware of the benefits accrued to you. Whether it comes from your hand or not, or whether someone else blesses you with it, is irrelevant. But I'm conscious that there are blessings and favors in my life, and I need to be thankful for it to God. So, you want to bless God for no reason, because He's God. You want to bless God for a reason, because He's God and He intervenes in your life periodically and sustains you for every second of the day if you are a believer. You want to thank God routinely, that as you practice the rhythms of your life, as you go through the practices of your religion, go to church, pray, sing, stand up, sit down, submit to the preached word of God, you want to be thankful. I never want to be the guy. And sometimes I can, I have to admit to you, it's called preacher's curse. And we've got quite a few preachers here. I see Elder Red laughing because she knows where I'm going with this. And you sit there and you studied homiletics and hermeneutics, or you you got a degree in science or whatever the story might be, and you're an expert in some area. And the only thing that you can see are the perceived mistakes of the one preaching. Now, I've fallen prey to this many times. You know, Janine would be sitting next to me, we're in a service, and someone quite literally butchers a text out of context and says something that it doesn't say. And instead of me being grateful that I'm spending time in fellowship with other believers and that I've got some meat to chew on from this sermonic offering, all I can focus on is being grumpy because of some of the hermeneutical errors. I wasn't full of grace. I wasn't full of thankfulness. And in fact, I allowed it to upset my spirit. There was no heresy preached. Now, heresy is a different kettle of fish altogether. But they just didn't deal well enough with the passage as maybe I think I would have done. I didn't have an attitude of gratitude. And when you don't see the blessings that God has given you, all you're going to see or all what you perceive the mistakes that are in your life, and you'll be grumpy, and you'll be unhappy, and the peace and the joy of God is going to elude you. Thankfulness is connected to your peace. Thankfulness is connected to your joy, and I would love to see you experience all of that. But in the words of Paul, be thankful. Close your eyes and bow your head. I want to ask you just a very quick exercise. I want you to take 30 seconds and in quietness, no one pray out loud, please, just quiet. I want you to start a prayer like this. Jesus, I thank you for. And then rattle off as many as you can. And I want you to start off with the obvious and then go to the not so obvious. On the count of three, you start that right now. You're going to count your blessings. One, two, three. Father, I thank you that no matter what our life situation is, we can be thankful. I think of Indica's friend, dear Lord John, who's in an institution right now. And I pray your grace and your mercy upon him, your healing and your strength of mind right now. But even in this situation, I can thank you that he's receiving good care. And I can thank you, dear Lord, that a few weeks from now he will be stronger for this, having gone through this experience. I thank you, dear Lord, Father, that you will come out of this realizing that emotional and mental affliction is nothing to be ashamed of, but it's something that we submit to Christ and allow Him to heal and to touch. And so, dear Lord, Father, as all of us find that thankful silver lining to our context, our life, our situation, I pray, dear Lord, Father, that you would work and that you would lead us to a place, dear Lord, Father, where we are thankful repeatedly, routinely, for a reason and for no reason. Bless us now as we cultivate this spirit and this attitude for your glory and our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, my apologies. I bid you farewell.